This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 29th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about a new dress code at Illinois State University for marketing students. Illinois Public Radio's Willis Kern will have a report. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. A former Illinois governor says his well-known confrontations with the General Assembly bear little resemblance to today's rancor in Springfield. Dan Walker served one term before he lost the Democratic nomination in 1976. He lost to a candidate backed by so-called machine Democrats who had joined with Republicans to oppose many of Walker's policies. Speaking on AM 580's Afternoon Magazine yesterday, Walker said his fights with the legislature were over specific budget items, not the balance of power between the governor and lawmakers.
Witness the lawsuit he has just filed, and in which he wants the court to order the General Assembly to conduct a special session when he tells them to. That kind of a lawsuit is almost unheard of. I never had that kind of a difference with the legislature.
Walker says he's not sure how successful Governor Blagojevich will be with his lawsuit, but he says courts are more often used to stop people from taking action, not to compel them to take action. Pontiac police say they aren't sure what was planned for six handguns found yesterday at the city's high school. The guns weren't loaded and students didn't have ammunition. Still, the weapons found just 8 days into the new school year left authorities, parents, and administrators speculating about worst-case scenarios. Three teens, all juveniles, were arrested on campus at the 900-pupil school. Livingston County State's Attorney Thomas Brown declined to identify the three because of their ages. He says he isn't sure what charges they could face. Police locked down the high school about 8:30 a.m. after someone told a police officer based on campus that at least one student had brought guns to school. Five other schools near the high school were also locked down as a precaution. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich yesterday rejected legislation requiring public school students to start each day with a moment of silence. Blagojevich told lawmakers in a veto message that state law currently allows teachers to ask students to be quiet for a moment. He says that law provides the right balance between the Constitution's ban on state-sponsored religion and the desire to pray. Democratic State Representative Will Davis of Homewood had argued his bill would not create a religious exercise but give students a chance to settle down and reflect on the day ahead. Governor Blagojevich says he wants to increase the use of Illinois coal and power plants and take other unspecified steps to ensure electric rates don't surge again. The governor made his desires known yesterday in southern Illinois while signing into law a $1 billion relief package aimed at soaring electric rates. That action ended a year-long tug of war between the needs of consumers and power companies. While the governor is complaining that the electric rate relief legislation does not go far enough, nobody from the governor's office was involved with the negotiations that brought about the deal. Blagojevich was invited, but he said it was a matter for the legislature to deal with. The final compromise was crafted by key lawmakers, electric company executives, and the attorney general's office. Ben Weinberg is chief of the Attorney General's Public Interest Division. He says the Attorney General Lisa Madigan is satisfied that given all it accomplishes, the new law represents a major step forward.
The law provides over $1 billion of rate relief. It eliminates the reverse auction. It creates a new state agency to guarantee independent electricity procurement and includes historic energy efficiency and renewable energy requirements.
Negotiations that brought about the relief package lasted nearly 7 months. Champaign Republican Brad Jones says he's making another run for county auditor. Jones ran unsuccessfully against Democrat Mike Frericks in 2004. Now he says he'll run again next year against incumbent Tony Fabry, who was appointed auditor when Frericks became a state senator. Jones says Champaign County needs an auditor who will speak out on whether the county board is spending tax dollars wisely.
Well, I really think we need somebody in the office who's going to be more proactive, who will take a look at spending and also programs that the county board has passed and see if those programs are effective and if that spending is still necessary. And I don't think that's occurring right now. I think we can do a better job with that.
Jones currently serves on the county board, but he says his background as a financial advisor would serve him well as auditor. Fabry says his service on the finance committee when he was on the county board helps make him an effective auditor. But he says the auditor's job is to make sure county board spending follows the law, not to intervene in spending decisions. In an effort to put its best foot forward for visitors, the city of Champaign is making plans to upgrade the appearance of its interstate highway overpasses. We get more from AM580's Jim Meadows.
The first upgrade will come next year at the I-57 Curtis Road interchange, now being built in southwest Champaign. The city, funded in part by a state grant, will add decorative improvements to the overpass, such as fencing, columns, and landscaping. City officials say the enhanced overpass will act as a gateway announcing Champaign to motorists. City Councilman Tom Bruno says such improvements are a subtle but effective way to promote a community to potential businesses. He cites an enhanced I-57 overpass that he's seen at Monee in Will County.
But I have a higher regard for the community I'm going through. It's very subliminal, but you just think this must be a nice town or a nice area because what I do see looks nice to me.
Over the next several years, Champaign officials hope to add decorative enhancements to other interstate overpasses in town as they come up for renovation. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. The marketing department at Illinois State University in Normal has imposed a mandatory dress code on its students, effective this week. Non-marketing students at ISU are not affected by the business casual dress code. Willis Kern has this report.
Tim Longfellow sits comfortably at a conference table located in a room next to his office. The head of Illinois State University's marketing department is dressed in a tan khaki shirt that sports ISU's athletic mascot Reggie Redbird, neatly pressed dark blue slacks, and brown loafers. He says it's important faculty set a good example and comply with the dress code that now affects nearly all students in the department.
It was something that we felt strongly about. We felt like this was something to give our students an edge. And so we decided we would be out in front of this and kind of set the standard.
That standard involves strict adherence to a code that requires business casual dress in nearly every marketing class, except one that includes non-marketing majors. Collared shirts with sports or fashion logos are in. T-shirts that contain phrases are out. Dress slacks work. Cargo pants, jeans, and cutoffs don't. Sweaters are acceptable. Sweatshirts aren't. Loafers, boots, and clogs pass the test. Slippers, athletic shoes, and flip-flops flunk out. In fact, any student who violates the dress code is subject to being dismissed from class and getting a zero for any work collected that day.
My name is Sarah Molitor. I am a senior at Illinois State University. I have a marketing major.
Sarah Molitor and three roommates live in an apartment room high atop one of Uptown Normal's new restaurants at the busy intersection of Linden and Buford Streets. Sarah's room is neat and tidy. And as she opens her closet door, the business casual wear hangs prominently.
Take a look at what you have here.
All right. Well, you've got the shoes. And up here I've got, I bought some business suits, button-down shirts, sweaters, some belts. I don't have a lot, but I have the basics, and that's where you start.
Molitor says she hasn't spent a lot of money on her wardrobe. She's just carefully chosen not to buy an expensive pair of jeans from, say, Abercrombie & Fitch, or a $50 pair of sweatpants from Victoria's Secret.
The clothes that I see some of the students wearing cost more expensive in some ways than a professional wardrobe. It's just a matter of choosing to be professional and budget. I mean, business majors should know how to budget. It's end of story. I just don't see.
Just outside Illinois State University's College of Business building, students are hustling inside just a few minutes before classes begin, some even on skateboards. Most don typical college attire, blue jeans, cutoffs, t-shirts, and flip-flops, but a few students wearing khaki pants or high heels set themselves off as likely marketing majors.
The description, the client choice summary justification is due on Wednesday, and let's chat about that, give you a little
This 300-level marketing communication class called Creative Strategy and Design has about 15 students, each plugged into computer workstations, each dressed in business casual. Professor Linda Showers allows the students to talk about the policy, and the discussion today centers on a line in the ISU Student Bill of Rights, which includes the right to be free of any mandatory dress code.
So I think that as far as it being against the Student Bill of Rights, I don't think we should go against it, but I think that maybe exceptions need to be made, maybe amend the Student Bill of Rights.
Andrea.
I do become slightly emotional when people start talking about amending the constitutions and things like that. People who still feel oppressed, for some people that day is over and gone, but for some people it's still very real. And so when you start talking
It would have been something that we would just debate in one of our association meetings.
Dave Horstein is Illinois State University student body president. The apparent conflict between the mandatory dress code and the ISU Student Bill of Rights is something that concerns him. Horstein says the Student Government Association could consider a vote of the entire student body to amend the Constitution.
This being a major change to the Constitution, we would have had to say, does this seem like it's a plausible cause, basically, to be amending our own Constitution? Something along the lines of students are protected from mandatory dress codes outside of academic reasons.
Horstein says the thinking is the marketing department's dress code could be viewed as a necessary part of academics, similar to how nursing and biology students must wear scrubs and other appropriate dress to work in a lab setting. The constitutional amendment banning dress codes on campus is consistent with past student attitudes at colleges nationwide demanding freedom of expression. But is mandating dress in a public school setting when safety isn't a factor something that passes constitutional muster? Ed Yonka with the Illinois American Civil Liberties Union says that's very possible. He says that's much more open to question in a public elementary or secondary school setting where students are compelled to attend.
It may speak more to people, wanting to have some sense of some return to formality, as opposed to them having thought it through as a legal matter.
Yonka says it's possible a court challenge could be upheld if it's proven a student was punished through arbitrary enforcement of very subjective policies. ISU Marketing Department Chair Tim Longfellow says the dress code was drafted as part of an overall professional standards policy that includes writing quality and other aspects of professionalism. He's sensitive to the perception of subjectivity and enforcement of the dress code and says administrators will refine the policy to allow appeals. Meanwhile, student body President Dave Horstein says he's looking forward to a university-wide discussion dealing with that aspect of the dress code. I'm Willis Kern.
In the forecast for the region today, expect mostly sunny skies and partly sunny conditions with scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Once again, a high in the low 90s. Mostly cloudy tonight. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low around 65. Partly sunny tomorrow. Not as warm. The high around 82 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear. The low around 55 degrees. Sunny skies on Friday. A high in the upper 70s, cooling off quite a bit. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.